I hope you are encouraged by this morning's message about how we are marred, but we can be remade. I was so thankful for that, and just in our daily walk with God. Tonight, at least in our introduction, and I think it's probably what I would call an amen introduction. I'll probably get a lot of amens, and that's okay. Feel free. Amen. This is a Baptist church. We do still say amen. It's okay to say praise the Lord. Amen. It's okay to say hallelujah. You don't have to just... Like that guy I heard about, he came in spirit-filled to a church service, and he said... Amen. Glory to God. And they looked at him and they said, what's wrong with you? He said, I got the filling of the Holy Ghost. And an old fellow said, well, you didn't get it here. Keep quiet. Amen. And I think sometimes churches are like that. Amen. Boy, it's okay to say amen when you agree with the preacher. By the way, let me just tell you from the perspective up here, it's like saying sick 'em to a bulldog when I hear amen. Say amen. It really gets you stirred up. We're going bankrupt here in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Amen. We're going bankrupt. We really, really, literally, financially, we're going bankrupt. The debtor is servant to the lender. The borrower is servant to the lender. Let me just say this. I did this on Friday, and it absolutely staggered me. I looked, for the first time, I went online, and I looked at the national debt clock. Anybody ever done that? Oh my heavens. Those numbers were scrolling so fast. Brother Randall, I had to just pick a time. I just picked a time, looked at the clock, looked at the number, and froze it. And it was this. On Friday at 1:06 p.m., our national debt was $17,216,326,650,000 and going up, and I mean this, every second. Dave Ramsey, many of you listen to Dave Ramsey on the radio, gives some sound financial advice. In 2011, he said this, if the United States government were a household, they would make $55,000 a year. Have $96,500 a year in expenses. Now you try to run your household that way. And have $366,000 in credit card debt. And it's amazing. In a couple of weeks, they're going to ask for another credit card. Those of you that pay attention, they're going to ask for another credit card. You don't go into debt to pay off debt. You cut spending. You cut expenses. Amen. That's what you have to do. That's what I have to do. It's not a political sermon. Amen. It's just a simple, sound financial advice. You cannot borrow your way out of debt. It doesn't work. So we're going bankrupt financially. You know what else, ladies and gentlemen? We're going bankrupt spiritually. We're going bankrupt spiritually. Wickedness is not in the shadows anymore. It's found the sunlight, and it's open. And it's not only open, it's vigorously defended as liberty. Can I tell you something? That is not the liberty our founders bled and died for. That's license. That's licentiousness. Doing what I want, no matter what. I think of the song we sing, America the Beautiful. God, confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law. You see, real liberty always has boundaries. Always does. So we're going bankrupt financially. We're going bankrupt spiritually. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. But sin is a reproach to any people, Proverbs 14:34 says. You know what else? We're going bankrupt morally. We're going bankrupt morally. It wasn't so long ago. Some of you grew up in America that was a moral America. By the way, it wasn't perfect. There were some inequalities that had to be righted. But by and large, we had a collective morality. Then they decided 40 years ago that it was perfectly okay for a woman to murder her baby in her womb. And that started us down a slope, ladies and gentlemen, that we've not yet got to the bottom on. But we've been going down for 40 years. Think of aborticide. I think of how prevalent alcohol is in our society. Brother Jim, Miss Kim, you work the bus route. Alcohol. What it does to families. Makes me mad. Makes me so mad that I'll never have liquor in my home. Amen. Never. Because I know what it does. Think of this alternative lifestyle, quote unquote, how it's right there. It's moral debauchery, ladies and gentlemen. It's just heading us down the slope. I think of adult entertainment, quote unquote. And all it's doing, folks, is taking us into the cesspool. And we're going bankrupt. We're going bankrupt morally. We're going bankrupt spiritually. We're going bankrupt financially. But really, one of the things that we see over and over because of all these things is we're going bankrupt for true leaders. For real leaders. I said this morning, I was talking to our Sunday school class. By the way, a real leader isn't necessarily the loudest one in the room. We're going to talk about leadership. Joshua here is, if you look at the text, he's commissioned in the first 9 verses. And it's such a great statement there in verses 1 and 2. It says there that Moses, the servant of the Lord, had died. And it said it came to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. And God establishes here a spiritual chain of command. In verses 1 through 9, and by the way, they're tremendous verses. God speaks to Joshua. You see at the beginning of verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. Verse 9, be strong and of a good courage. And so he speaks to Joshua. Then Joshua speaks to the people. In verses 10 through 15. And then, and this is so wonderful. It doesn't always happen this way. But the people speak to Joshua in verses 16 through 18. And it's a symphony of unity. They said, Joshua, here's the deal. Whatever you tell us from the Lord, we'll do it. But then they also put a condition on it, Brother Wiesner. They said, just be like Moses and make sure the Lord's with you. Fair enough. Amen. Amen. By the way, Psalm 133, verse 1 says, how sweet and pleasant is it when brethren dwell together in unity. Unity. So you see there in Joshua chapter 1, Joshua's commission. God speaks to Joshua. Joshua speaks to the people. And then the people speak to Joshua. There was no schisms, no divisions. They wanted to go forward with purpose for what God had for them, which for them was entering into the promised land. But it took a leader, ladies and gentlemen. It took a leader. The term in the military, we mentioned it this morning, AWOL is not a good term. If you were ever AWOL, when you got back, you got in trouble. Brother Hendershot, you were in the military. I'm sure you had people that were AWOL. Not good. Absent without leave. But I want to take that phrase and move it around a little bit. And I've titled this message AWOL, America Without Leadership. And certainly each one of us could go and get on our soapbox about the President of the United States and the Vice President and the Senate and how morally bankrupt each one of those are. And we could go up to Lansing and say, I got a problem with that leadership and I got a problem with that leadership. But ladies and gentlemen, 1 Peter 4:17 says, judgment must first begin at the house of God. And I'm telling you this, in our day, we're starving for real leaders. And they ought to be coming from places like this. Amen. We that know the Word of God. Leadership. AWOL. America without leaders. I want to talk to you about some characteristics of leadership. And listen, this is not going to be anything new. I hope that you can take away some application on this. But let me give you a few things if I could. I think seven things here, a few little sub-points. But look, if you would, at Joshua 1 and verse 1. Talks about Moses. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. Number one, first of all, this evening, leaders are followers. Leaders are followers. You see, Joshua's job, before he became the leader of the entire nation of Israel, was to help Moses. I wonder if sometimes Brother Leonard, he had to bring him some water. I wonder if another time he had to get some food for him. Maybe another time he had to clear some things out or maybe do some jobs that weren't all that attractive. Didn't get the big public pat on the back. I want to tell you something. The problem with a lot of leadership now is they never followed. And I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Leaders are followers. They're people that can sit under authority. God-given, legitimate, God-given authority. They have respect for it. It's a hallmark of people that are true leaders. Heard the story of one time when Vince Lombardi was coaching for the Washington Redskins. And they weren't very good there for the 2 years that he had the Redskins. And he passed away with cancer. But there was at the end of the game, there was an official who had made a very poor call. And it was a poor call. And Lombardi, very uncharacteristically, chased him off the field like this. Now, the reason I say uncharacteristically, because most of us that know anything about Vince Lombardi, he was a man who loved and respected authority. And that's the way he coached. That's the way he taught. And Pete Rozelle, the commissioner of the NFL, came on the television and said it was very, very uncharacteristic of Vince Lombardi to do that. Someone who has gone so far as to be such an example of authority. And Vince Lombardi got right on and apologized to the public at large. You know why? Because leaders are followers. And as much as he didn't like that official's call, he said, he's in charge. He's in charge. I'm not the official. So many, listen, even in the ministry, I've known preachers that were second men, but they were always complaining about the first man. They're always taking shots and chipping at him. And I'll tell you what, they've got a problem with authority, but it's not with the first man. It's with God. Leaders are followers. Let me ask you this. Now here's where it gets a little touchy. Here's where it gets a little dicey. That boss that you don't like. Listen, I've had bosses that I didn't like. I had bosses that I thought were wrong. I had bosses that I thought were victims of what we call the Peter principle, which is rising about two levels above your competency. Amen. I've had bosses like that. Do you submit yourself to them? Because you're supposed to. You're supposed to. Well, they just... Moses' minister. That's what Joshua was. Moses' minister. Leaders are followers. Number two. Go with me to the New Testament. We'll be all over the Bible tonight. Go with me to the New Testament. Go to John chapter 13. John 13. Leaders are followers. Joshua was a great leader because he made himself a good follower. He made that important. He said, I'm going to be the best follower I could be of Moses. John chapter 13, look at verse 4 and 5. Or verse 3 says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself, and after that he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he girded. Leaders are followers. Secondly, leaders are servants. Servants. Those of us that are in a leadership position, and you may be in a leadership position where you work. You may be a manager. You may be somebody who exercises authority over somebody else. We're not to be served. We're to serve. Now listen, I understand if you're in leadership, people are going to want to be a blessing to you. That's just part of it, amen? But in our hearts, we should say like Jesus, he that is greatest among you, let him be your servant. Here Jesus took his disciples, his flawed disciples, his disciples who in just hours, Brother Jeff, were going to forsake him and flee. And one was going to cuss and swear and say, I never knew him at all. He got down on his knees and he took a basin of water and he began to wash their feet. Now, folks, listen. I'm sure that their feet were dirty. I'm sure that perhaps they were sweaty, smelly even. Jesus got down and he showed us the picture of a servant. You know, the title deacon, it's a wonderful title. And we have some wonderful deacons. Thank God we do. We've had, ever since I've been here, had just wonderful boards of deacons. Deaconos, servant of menial tasks such as a table waiter. That's what the word means. It's translated as three words: deacon, minister, and servant. Show me somebody in leadership who doesn't serve, and I'll show you a Pharisee. Leaders are supposed to be servants. We're servants. We serve other people. I heard just this week, I made a hospital call. I was making us two surgery calls this week. One was over in Marshall. Brother Carowan was having his rotator cuff done, and I stopped and saw him. And by the way, if you have ingrown toe surgery, don't be surprised if I'm not there. Amen. I mean, sometimes it works like that. Amen. Come on now, somebody. Pastor, I had a hangnail removed, and you didn't come pray with me. Amen. But I just feel like when you're having a pretty serious surgery like Brother DeCamp had and Brother Carowan had, that your pastor ought to be there. I think that that's part of being a servant. And I heard recently, of a preacher who was put out when somebody wanted them to come pray with him, who was having a very serious surgery. Now listen, I'm not bashing that preacher. I'm saying this. We lose sight sometimes that leadership is supposed to be serving others. Servants. God wants leaders to be servants. Leaders are followers. Leaders are servants. Number three, go back to the Old Testament. Go back to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Look at verse number... Oh, if we could here. Let's look at verse 23. And we'll look at a couple different verses here. 1 Samuel 17, 23. It says, and as he talked with them, behold, there came up a champion of the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and he spake according to the same words, and David heard them. Jump down, if you would, to verse 29. And remember here, David is falsely accused, and they say, ah, we know the naughtiness of your heart. You're just trying to show off. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Jump down to verse 40. Said, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even a scrip, and his sling was in his hands, and he drew near to the Philistine. Number 3, leaders are followers, leaders are servants. Leaders are need meters. Leaders are need meters. And that is just a simple phrase. See a need, meet a need. I mentioned this morning, if you see a piece of paper on the ground in the house of God, don't say, well, somebody will pick that up. Amen. You are somebody. Amen. You're a somebody, bless God. Bend down and pick that up. Unless you're my wife who's 9 months pregnant and can't bend down, amen? Then tell one of your children to do it, amen? Listen, folks. This idea, this character of seeing a need and meeting it, it's dying in our country. Those of you that are part of the World War II generation, it was a natural byproduct of the character that you were taught by your parents. You see a need and you meet it. You see somebody in need, you help them. That is Christianity 101. But it's dying. You know why? Because in our country, we're raising generations. It's about the third one now that is not interested in others' needs. It's interested in what I can get. You know what David looked out? He came along and he was talking to his brothers. And by the way, he was being faithful, running an errand that his father told him to run. And well, he heard Goliath cussing God and yelling at Israel and stirred something in him. Who's this guy? Why doesn't somebody knock him off his perch? Is there not a cause? And he didn't say this, amen, and the story doesn't say it. I think he looked around and everybody was kind of, hey, whoa, look at the time. I got a train to catch. Or how about them cubs or whatever. Everyone was just not paying attention to Goliath because they were scared. And David stood up and said, hey, there's a need. Guess with God's help, I'll go meet it. Hey, listen, we need people who are need meters. Churches die because people think someone else will do it. That's why churches die. That's why churches close every day, because people have the attitude someone else will do it. I've served my time. Listen, not until you're horizontal have you served your time. Let's be need meters. We need to be need meters. Leaders are need meters. Leaders are servants. Leaders are followers. This one is so basic. Back to Joshua chapter 1. But I'll tell you, we miss it sometimes. Verse 10. It says, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, you know, I think this is one of those verses, Pastor Donald, you get in homiletics class. They give you this, they're saying, preach something out of that verse. So what can you find out of that verse there, Pastor? In Joshua 1:10, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, it doesn't tell us what he commanded them. It doesn't tell us what I'll tell you what he did. Leaders, number 4, are to lead. They're to lead. It says he commanded the people. He didn't say, now let's get together and let's have a vote and let's have 16 committee meetings. George Will said about football, he said it combines the worst 2 facets of America, violence punctuated by committee meetings. Now that's football. Amen. They get together. Okay, let's do this. No, listen. You know what leaders do? They lead. They lead. They lead. They just get out front. And, you know, Paul said, be followers of me as I follow Christ. Just get out there and lead. Moses, everybody, we got to go back to Egypt. Here they come. They're coming to kill us. Moses said, quiet. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He split the Red Sea. Oh, for leaders like that. By the way, you don't have to be a pastor to lead like that. You can lead at your job. Amen. You can lead right here in this church. There are all kinds of ministries where God will use you to lead boys and girls. Leading. Leaders are to lead. By the way, you know, we live in a day, and again, this is, if Satan's big problem, of course we know his pride, sin problem, pride, he hates authority. And you know, in our country in the last 50 years, there's been an all-out war on authority. You know what the Bible says about a pastor? He's to rule. I'm sorry if you don't like that. Now, I don't think it means you stand up with a scepter and smack people on the head. Amen. But you know what it means? He leads. He's supposed to be one that ruleth well. Let him that ruleth well be counted worthy of double honor. Obey them that have the rule over you. It speaks to leadership. And ladies and gentlemen, if we need anything in our country, we need people who will lead. We need people who will say, I am going to be the leader that God intended me to be. Leaders are to lead. Over and over we find that leaders leading. I think about the great leaders of the past century. You know, General Patton didn't get all his privates together and say, now guys, what do you think? He said, follow me, boys. And they went and took Italy, went into Germany, amen. MacArthur, amen. I think of these other great leaders. I think about the modern, I mentioned him before, but I think of the modern NFL player in Vince Lombardi. I don't think they'd get along very well. I don't think they'd get along very well. I can't see Terrell Owens doing too well on Vince Lombardi's football team. Vince Lombardi was the leader. He was the leader. Oh God, we need leaders. Amen. Leaders are to lead. Number five, go to the New Testament. Go over to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. In verse 12, and here we have the Holy Spirit inspiring a veteran preacher to speak to a young preacher, and he says in verse 12 of 1 Timothy chapter 4, he says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to the believers. Over in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3, the Bible says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples unto the flock. Leaders are followers. Leaders are servants. Leaders are to be need meters. Leaders are to lead. Leaders are to be examples. How would it look to you if I, as a pastor, said, stood up here and I barked and spit and snorted and said, everybody ought to be out for visitation. Everybody ought to come out for visitation. Everybody ought to come out for visitation. And Brother Jim, at 11 o'clock on Saturday, I was home with my feet up. Not much of an example, is it? Not much of an example. Leaders are to be examples. If I want you on visitation, you think I ought to be there? Let me just say this. If I want you to be faithful, you think I ought to be here? Yeah. Pastor Donald and I were talking the other day. I said, one of these days, God will give me the courage to do it. I'm going to sit in the back for the first 40 minutes of the service. And everybody's going to wonder, where's the preacher? Where's he at? What's going on? And I'm going to come out and say, you know, I just didn't feel like being on time today. No. just wasn't feeling like it. Yeah. Listen, I know I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd. I know you get these kind of things. Listen, a leader has got to be an example. And it goes on there in 1 Timothy chapter 4. It talks about impurity and doctrine and conversation and holiness. Of course, in the Word of God. Let's be examples. You know, I hope that my children will say, my daddy was an example. Some of you are children and you can say of your daddy, he's an example. You could say of your mama, she was a great example. You know what that is? A leader. A leader. Leaders are examples. Leaders are examples that we can follow. Amen? We look at leaders and we say, I could follow that person. Leaders are examples. Oh, this one is so basic. Go back just a few pages there. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, but so true. 2 Corinthians 12. Leaders are followers. Leaders are servants. Leaders are to be need meters. Leaders are to lead. Leaders are to be examples. Second Corinthians 12, verse 15. Pastor Donald and I heard a tremendous message out of this text a couple months ago over at Faith Baptist in Chelsea. We went over there for the fellowship meeting. And I heard just a tremendous message. It says there, 2 Corinthians 12, 15, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. And though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Leaders are to love those that they lead. If there has been something in our church that I believe has transformed our church from when I got here in November of 2009 to December of 2013, it's love. Not my love, but love has gotten all over this place. We love each other. Listen, if I'm going to lead you, I've got to love you. Listen, first of all, it's commanded by God. If you're going to be a godly leader. But I think just in general leadership, it sure is easy to lead people when you love them. Yeah. Can I say this? It's real easy to follow somebody when you know they love you. Yeah. Oh, you might disagree sometimes. Hey, that's life. Yeah. Remember there was a movement several years ago. Are you 100% for this brother? Let me just tell you this. I remember when hearing that for the first time. Are you 100% for this brother? I thought to myself, I said, well, I'm not even 100% for my wife. How would I be 100% for some brother? But I love him. Amen. Love that brother. Love that sister. Amen. If you're going to lead people, Brother Jim, you and your dear wife, you lead that bus ministry. I know you love those kids. It's evident. If you teach a class, oh, how you love that class. Love those kids. Love Brother Jeff, I know you teach the ambassador class here. Brother Horst, you taught for years. Love those people. Amen? Can't be a leader and not love people. To be honest, maybe that's the reason why we have so much bankruptcy in leadership. There's only one person a lot of leaders love, and it's the one they're looking at in the mirror. Oh, we need to love people. Need to love those that we lead. And then lastly tonight, and by the way, not an exhaustive list. I'm sorry, we just don't have enough time for an exhaustive list. Books, many, many books have been written on leadership, and many better sermons have been preached than this one. Leaders are followers. Leaders are servants. Leaders are need meters. Leaders are to lead. Leaders are to be examples. Leaders are to love those that they lead. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. I don't think we have to tarry long here, close and give a couple applications. Three times here in this text, we find a similar statement. Hebrews 13:7 says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, down to verse 17. It says, obey them that have the rule over you, those that are leading you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable. Down to verse 24. Salute all them that have the rule. Lastly tonight, leaders are to be followed. Sounds pretty basic. But you know, in the many D-Days in the Pacific, there were some orders given that were really difficult. Charge up that beach. It was hard. But you know what those that were under authority were responsible to do? To follow orders. To follow orders. And here in particular, it's talking about the men of God that rule, that have spoken unto you the word of God, that those that must give an account. And it says there, they're to be followed. See, we do have some leaders in our country that are leading, but nobody's following. Can I just give you three quick things on why people follow leaders? Number one, people follow leaders because they love them. And that's a good reason. Sometimes people follow leaders because they like them. I'll take that one. If you don't love me, at least like me. That's okay. But you know why people really follow leaders? It's because they respect them. And that goes back, ladies and gentlemen, to leaders are followers. Leaders are servants. Leaders are need meters. Leaders are to lead. Leaders are to be examples. They're to love those that lead. And leaders are to be followed. May we, in our various capacities of life, lead. May we lead. People say, well, I've never been called to be a leader. I don't think David was walking around when Goliath was yelling and cussing, thinking, you know, I wonder about my leadership call. No. He saw a need and met it. Those are the kind of leaders we need. You say, well, I'm a lady. I can't lead. Well, you can't lead a men's ministry, but boy, I'll tell you what, we need some ladies who will lead. I think of my little boys sitting by mama's side all the day long while I'm here studying or at the hospital or doing what? You know what mama's doing? She's leading those boys. I don't want my kids to follow somebody off the cliff. Amen. You don't want your kids to follow somebody off to the... You know what we need to do? Teach them to be leaders. Teach them to lead. We're AWOL. America without leadership. So let's do our part. Let's train up our children to lead. And let's ourselves be leaders in our various capacities. Father, thank you for Josh.